Second Sunday of Advent. I always, not struggle, but I always make a special effort to try and understand what the church is trying to say to us, especially in the different seasons, especially what I would say is Lent and Advent. Because to me, especially Advent, is a reminder of the fact that we are going somewhere. That life is not, as a good friend of mine normally says, one damn thing after another. That we're actually moving in a direction. And that our moving in a specific direction should be very much like preparing to go on a trip and making choices that help you along the way. Listen to these words, because I was very taken with the second reading today. Paul says, and this is my prayer, the second part of the second paragraph. This is my prayer. That your love may increase evermore in knowledge and every kind of perception. Now, why do you want more knowledge and want more perception? So that you may discern what is of value. So that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus for the glory and praise of God. Notice that Paul is asking for knowledge and every kind of perception. Now, in my experience, what most of us try to do on a regular basis is what I call avoidance ethic. I can't tell you how many times people will come up to me and say, Father, is it a sin if I dot, dot, dot? Is it a sin if I dot, dot, dot? Now, that's what's called avoidance ethics. Means you're basically running your life not necessarily knowing where the heck you're going. But you're running your life basically trying to make not to make any wrong turns. But the problem is you don't know where you're going. And so you just want to make sure you don't screw it up too badly. Now, notice the notion of the avoidance. I always like to use the example of a person who wants to make the football team, and he reads and reads the rule book, and he goes to the coach and he says, I promise you, I will not make any mistakes. I will not be penalized in any way, shape, or form, because I know the rule book. Now, the coach may ask him, well, can I see a run? Can I see a pass? Can I see a carry the ball? Well, I haven't looked at that. All I have to do is make sure I don't do anything wrong. Now, when you translate that into your faith, you're not moving anywhere. You're just paralyzed trying to make sure you don't make any mistakes. But you're not particularly growing in the kind of person you're supposed to be. Now, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is what's called virtue ethics. Virtue ethics doesn't wait to ask, is it wrong or is it a sin if I do X, Y, and Z? What virtue ethics does is it says, how can I become, what decisions do I need to make so that I can become the person that God wants me to be? What can I do to make that happen? You know, all of you know that I'm pretty much of a nut when it comes to the history of words, etymologies. And one of the etymologies that I treasure the most is the word, the etymology of the word character. The word character is fascinating because what it means in it comes from the Greek word charizen. And charizen means to carve. Now think that through. Every time that you make a decision in your life, you're basically making a cut into the person that you are. You are carving the person that you are going to become. If you think about a person who is carving something, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens as the accumulation of the decisions that the carver or the artist makes on the block, say, of marble. He is making individual cuts, and those cuts add up. But he has to know where he's going with the cuts, because if he doesn't know where he's going, it doesn't take any particular shape, because there's no shape in the mind of the artist. He's just trying not to make any mistakes. But even his judgment is impaired, because since he doesn't know where he's going, he doesn't know where he's carving. And so for us, life is the same way. I have this notion that every time you make a decision in your life, you are making a cut. Another little etymology that may help. To decide. Every time, now think about the second half of that word. C-I-D-E. C-D-E. It means to cut down. For example, insecticide, to make a cut or to kill. Suicide, to kill. Homicide, to kill or to make a cut, to cut something down. And you could go on, genocide and other words that have C-I-D-E. What you're actually doing when you decide, even the word incision is the same thing, but every time you make a decision, you are basically carving the self that you will ultimately become. And the question is, what pattern are you following in making the decisions that make you into the kind of person that you are supposed to be? You know, I often, whenever I do a quince años, that's a ceremony for a young lady who is kind of a growing up celebration, I tell the quinceañera, what if your mom and dad gave you a bolt of cloth, beautiful cloth, and then they said to you, sweetie, we don't have any money. We spent so much money on this cloth that we don't have any money to make your dress. So here's a pair of scissors, and here is some needle and thread. You make your dress. Now, I asked the young lady, so your mom and dad closed the door, and there you are with a needle and thread and a pair of scissors. What are you going to do? Are you going to call your friends and say, hey, come on over and let's have a dress dreaming party? Let's have a dress dreaming party, and all your friends can come and bring their own scissors, and you can begin trying little cuts, making little cuts in that bolt of cloth. And you're having a ball. You're enjoying it tremendously. But when you're finished having fun, what do you have? You have rags. Why? Because you had fun, but you took no thought as to the final product. You just cut where it was fun to cut. And of course, what you ended up with is nothing. I can't tell you how many people live their lives exactly like that. They have no idea where they're going, but they're just having fun. And they look back and we had a great time. But every single one of those decisions that you're making, having a great time, not that they're necessarily sinful, but the question is, do they contribute to the kind of person that you are carving every time you make a decision? Every time you cut, every time you cut on that cloth, if you're using the imagery of a cloth, you can't take it back. It begins part of the ultimate mold. Now, you can sew it together. And when I do explanations for young girls in this situation, I say, now, your mom can come in and take all those rags and put them together and try to sew them. But it ain't going to look good. It ain't going to look good. And how did you get from the point of having a beautiful cloth to the point of having a dress that is made out of sewn up rags? You got there by having fun. And you got there by doing nothing in terms of where are you taking this ultimate product. And then the question is, when you're going to do that, when you're going to make a dress, what do you need? You need a pattern. You can't cut just to have fun. Now, you can enjoy it. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. God is not expecting you not to enjoy making the dress. But you have to have a pattern. And that's when I point to the guy behind me. What is the pattern that is you are following in creating the you that you're going to see in the mirror at the end of your life? Because at the very end of your life, I have not experienced that yet, but they say your life flashes before your eyes. What are you going to see? What are you going to see? You know, every time I think about that, I always think there's a play, some of you older people might remember this, called Man of La Mancha. And in the play of Man of La Mancha, Cervantes pictures himself at the beginning of the play, and he's being called a dreamer, not practical, and a person who doesn't have, who does no imagination. And Cervantes says, you know, I have been in battle many times, and I have held men in my arms as they were dying. And I could see in their eyes the question that was prevalent to them constantly, why? Why? Then he says this very interesting. He says, I don't think they asked why they were dying. They were asking actually why they had lived. When life itself is random and madness, who knows where madness lies? Perhaps to be too practical is madness. And maddest of all is to live life as it is and not as it ought to be. Because that was what they were missing. They had no ultimate direction. They were either having fun or just living life as it comes without any sort of direction. The gospel today, reflecting Baruch, gives you an image of make ready the way for the Lord. It has putting down the mountains, straightening the paths. And the image is of a people going in a specific direction. So the question for us today is this. Where is your life going? Do you have a sense that every day you make a decision, you are making a cut in the ultimate shape that you will be seen at the end of your life? You know, in graduate school, we had a great exercise with a professor who had us write our own obituary. It's an interesting exercise. When people get up at your funeral, what do you think will be said about you? Because what kind of man or woman were you during this lifetime? Will you just be remembered as, she was a wonderful party girl, a wonderful crazy guy? Will your life have meant anything? What is the character that will emerge as having been carved by you during your lifetime? Will it be a random thing, or does it have a direction? Will you be remembered for the kind of man or woman that you ultimately chose to be? And that's what's going to happen. Advent, folks, is a time to remind ourselves that every day matters. Every cut, every decision matters. But it needs to be not a sense of, is it wrong if I, but am I by this decision becoming the kind of man and woman that God is asking me to be? Am I cooperating with God's grace and making straight the paths so that my personality can become what God intended it to be? Folks, I'm going to close this. When we think about going to heaven, I think we have two generic understanding of heaven. Heaven, periodically I have to laugh because people say, isn't heaven going to be boring, Father? I mean, think about it. We're all like sitting in a big stadium looking at God and it's going, yay, God. You're wonderful. Yay, God. That's not heaven. Heaven is when God allows you to finish, and he helps you to finish, the carving that you were meant to be. Heaven is not sitting in a stadium looking at God. Heaven is you and me transformed into the kind of people that God intended for us to be. The fantasy that I have, and granted, it's a fantasy, is that the day you die, you stand in front of a mirror, and that mirror does not show your body. That mirror shows the shape of your soul. And when you see that mirror superimposed on the shape of your soul, is the shape of the person that God intended when you were created. And judgment is when you notice the difference between the you that you became because of your choices, the character that you carved, and the one that God intended for you to be. And your reaction to the difference between the two is your judgment. At that time, my hunch is that God will ask you, do you want me to finish it? Or are you happy the way you are? And hopefully we will say, oh heck yes, finish it. Finish it. But the whole point is that while you're making decisions on this earth, that you have a pattern, that you just don't avoid sin, that you do things that make you the you that God intended you to be. So that as you grow in knowledge, you know how to choose to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. You know, whenever I hear confessions, I have never liked when priests say at the end of your confession, say three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. I hate that. It just never made sense to me. What I tell people is, I want you to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. And I want you to sit in front of that Blessed Sacrament. And I want you to ask God to help you to know the direction of your life and to help you to cooperate with His grace in becoming the you that He expects you to be. That's the whole point of this. That's the whole point of being a Christian. It's to learn how to think like Jesus and to learn how to be like Him so that our decisions make the character that is Christ Jesus inside of you. And so as we get ready for Christmas, don't allow this Advent to just go by doing just Christmassy things. Take some time. Where are you going? What kind of person are you carving? What will you see in the mirror when you stand before Him the day of your judgment? It's something to think about.